What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey, it's the Tearing Gash Comedy Show.
619 is the episode number. It's Monday.
Yeah, it is.
Lou Reed died.
Yep. And we wrote a song, one line of a song. Corn Patch.
And our friend got their car stolen with all of their music gear in it.
I know, bummer.
Yeah, so go find Jason Rowe's car. And listen to the episode. It's going to be fun.
Hello, and welcome to the Obamacare cast, where we will be discussing page 619 today.
Go to their website.
If you dare.
I think it takes has a maximum user capacity of 6 users.
That's what I heard.
It's Bahamacare, isn't it?
Yeah, I also heard you go there if you want to be scared for Halloween.
Ooh.
Hey, that's coming up this week. This is the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.
Oh, yeah, that's us. It's episode 619, and it's Monday. It's a sad Monday.
Why is it a sad Monday?
Well, because over the weekend, we lost a rock icon.
Oh, Lou Reed.
Yeah, listen to him.
Don't know.
Ah, he kind of went to the Bob Dylan school of singing. This is heroin.
Do you have any underground jokes for him?
Oh, they're really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth underground jokes.
Yep. I heard they're gonna bury him in milk chocolate.
I thought they were going to bury him in cheese. Well, not real cheese. Velveeta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah! Velveeta underground.
Mm-hmm.
There's a joke brewing right there.
Wow.
Lou Reed Gold buried in cheese.
Food the king.
Buried in cheese.
Yeah.
Because I like Velveeta, but only underground Velveeta, not that commercial shit.
So, not a big fan of Velveeta.
I thought you were going to say Lou Reed.
Well, that either.
I'm not a big fan.
I'm a man.
I might be a bigger fan of Velveeta than Lou Reed.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, there's no denying that he was a name in rock and roll, right?
I saw a lot of people that I respect their opinions posting stuff about how, you know, the world had lost a great icon. That I think it was Nathan Carson from Witch Mountain posted the only three people in the 60s rock movement that were reaching beyond their boundaries. This is totally paraphrased, by the way, was Yoko Ono,
mm-hmm.
Frank Zappa, and the Velvet Underground.
Hmm.
So.
I don't know that much about their music, so I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
I think he already had to be like, I don't know, he's younger than me.
Whenever I think of him, I think bananas.
Nico. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got a banana on it, Andy Warhol. And, you know, taking a walk on the wild side.
That was a strange scene that I don't think I could comprehend, you know, where you're just like, hanging around at a party with John Lennon and Andy Warhol and watching Pink Floyd and all that kind of stuff going on. It would be. And add on top of that you'd probably be on acid.
At the least.
Uh-huh.
It would probably be on you.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I don't even think... It would probably just be like squirted out of the ceiling... ceiling sprinklers at that time, right?
Yeah.
Because it was pretty open, like, hey, let's all just...
You've been misted.
Yep.
Yeah, they could mist you with acid water, and you're just like, whoa, it's sunk into my skin like DMSO.
There was always stories of that might go on at the country fair.
Oh, yeah. That, like, when I first started going back in the early 90s and late 80s, There was rumors of that, like, mm-hmm. of course, because there's a lot of misting stations, as they call them.
Yeah, and people run around with squirt guns, squirting people even with water, right?
So you walk under this place, and you're like, oh, it's the misting area. It feels so good because it's hot and sweaty and dirty out. And then they're like, hey, that mist is laced with acid, man. You're going to be tripping hard, hoping to get too wet.
Yeah, and you know, you're really tripping if that really freaks you out.
Yeah,
when they say that,
and then you're like, "Wow, I am tripping."
Yeah,
because look, would they really do that? There's kids running around in there and shit.
Yeah,
all the kids are
exactly
just,
right.
It's like I want to see what happens when a 4-year-old.
Well, kids are okay because you don't get fry your first time, right?
Wait, I don't know about that. I don't get stoned the first time.
Oh, you don't get stoned the first time, and you can't get pregnant the first time. A lot of things with the first times.
Where do you hear this stuff?
That one I heard in school.
Oh, well, that's not true because I know of a couple people got pregnant first time.
That would
one
be
of
tough.
Them was 12. Had a baby at 13, had that sucker out of her little 13-year-old vagina, popped a baby out. Speaking of babies
she didn't
popping
hold
out,
it in there for 45 years.
That's right. That's gross. We lost Lou Reed over the weekend, but we gained a spawn of myself.
Yeah,
I'm a grandpa now.
Woo. Congratulations,
Gramps. Thank you. Welcome to the Grandpa Club. Oddly enough, he was born on my brother's birthday.
Wow! Happy birthdays.
Cool. Yeah, that was on Tuesday of last week.
A great uncle and a great nephew having the same birthday.
Yeah.
And now he can use that line. I'm a great uncle, and I don't just mean I take the kids out for ice cream.
That's right. I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a pretty short, successful labor. I think she only had to push and try to get it out of there for like 45 minutes, which is pretty short. A lot of ladies go in for hours.
Yeah.
And then there was a scare. She had some complications. I won't go into it, but after everything was cool and she was safe, I looked it up on the internet afterwards because I wasn't stupid enough to look it up before. But what happened to her actually has a 15% mortality rate.
Wow.
So she could have died giving birth.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But
it's there's all sorts of complications that can go awry. That's awesome that everything's happy and healthy, though.
Yeah. Another weird thing. What happened to her? She had her baby at Sacred Heart River Bend there in... shut up, Lou. Jesus, die already.
Oh. I know. Thankfully, he passed after your grandson was born, so we know that that's not Lou Reed's soul
incarnation. Yeah, he was born before. Yeah, that's true. I heard he was kind of soulless anyway, Lou Reed. But no, this thing that happened to my daughter after... I don't know how long this lady's been working there, 20-some years, that delivered her.
Delivered her baby,
but the baby was a boy, so she delivered her baby, whatever. Anyway, it's only the third time that has happened.
Wow.
Yeah. And maybe later I'll tell you, but for now, it's just a mystery.
Now, what's his name?
He didn't get
Jamiroquai?
A guile. He didn't get a guile name because she's a girl and the dad gets a name. But I figured since they're not married, but they're officially living together for a year or so, that she should have got like a guile.
DeMarcus, is that his first name?
No. You can keep guessing though.
Oh, okay.
It's four letters.
Okay. Shaq. Big fan of basketball?
No, they didn't name it, not to be racist, but they didn't name it a black
name. Oh.
It starts with an E.
I think you told me last week, right, Eric?
Close, no. There's only a few that start with E.
I know it has four letters and E, I remember that much.
Yeah. Evan.
Oh, okay.
Evan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a cool name, I guess.
Yeah.
Evan James
Lawrence.
His last name is Lawrence. And I want him to be a Guile-Lawrence, but didn't happen. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
And my friend Lodestone, we talk about him quite a bit, my crew leader there at the Oregon Country Fair. His name is James Lawrence.
Really?
Lauderdale. And my baby, my grandbaby's name is Evan James Lawrence. So he's like, and another thing, he was born on the same day as Lauderdale's grandson last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, you're blowing my mind.
I know. So he called me up. I haven't got a chance to call him back. I know he doesn't listen to the show because he doesn't know how to work a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But or he doesn't. He has a dumb phone. But yeah, he called me up. Welcome to the Grandpa Club. Just wanted to chat with you a bit. Thought it was pretty cool that Alicia waited till my grandson's birthday to pop out little Evan. And also, you gave him two of my names. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a, those guys will have to hang out when they get older.
Did you take a snapshot of the solar system?
Which one's that?
When he's born, like a snap. They say that like when the moment you're born, it's like a snapshot of the stars, and that's all your astrology and everything, how everything is aligned at the moment.
I've never
heard
that.
That's where we get all the
astrology shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit.
Numerology and all that.
No. It was 9:45 in the morning, so there were no stars to look at. I guess I could have took out my phone app, pointed at the sky.
I wonder. Well, you could retroactively do it on the online. I'm sure for any date. But I wonder if. Oh crap!
That's a great sax solo, though.
Yeah.
If you're forgetting what you're saying, it's a good time to do it. Because check that out. I guess Lou Reed's not going to try out for Foreigner. Darn it.
Nope.
Heroin's in his blood.
How much do you think... Because I only know... When I think of Lou Reed, I think of A Wild Side, right? Which is obviously about, like... well, from what I read today, it was from people that hung around Andy Warhol. Right?
Yeah.
But they were kind of like the freaks of society over in San Francisco.
No,
like
New York, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Greenwich Village.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like there was the transgender. And,
yeah.
And I can't remember all the names. But each verse is, you know.
Yeah.
And it had that, what was it, a bass line? But it sounded like a, it almost sounded like a slide whistle. Of a, yep.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of
high bass notes.
Yep.
He's just kind of talking about some people.
Yeah. And so I know that. And I know Banana.
Yeah, but when I was a kid, that song was pretty risque because it said.
Certainly.
But she never lost her head, even when she was given head.
Oh, yeah.
You said given head on the radio? What does that even mean? You can say give head?
Mm-hmm.
Can you say give head on TV now?
No.
It'll bleep it?
Not in that. I think you could probably say...
Here, let me give you head.
Yeah, you could probably go that route.
If you're holding...
I don't know.
Like
there's so many things that are borderline now that... I saw one the other day. I can't remember what it was, so...
That's good.
Yeah. But it was right on that borderline to I was like, wow, they can really get away with that?
You can't say that on TV.
I know. That was a classic show back when I was a kid. You can't do that on television.
Ooh. That's a show. That was a show?
Yeah. It was kind of like a sketch comedy show, but it was geared towards like towards like the 14, maybe.
Okay.
and so I had a bunch of those, but I had some older guys on there too. Like they had the reoccurring cafeteria chef, and he was like the smoker with like the 8 o'clock shadow, and he was all dirty and everything, and he was kind of sloppy chef, and so they had to deal with that, and they had their parents, you know, so they were kind of like stiff parents, and, you know, it was a kid's sketch comedy show, I guess, back on Nickelodeon's early days.
Huh.
And then, but their big thing was, you couldn't say, I don't know, on the show. There would be like a little, a stage, like a podium, not right. A podium, like a little two-step stage.
Okay.
And they would be like three or four of them sitting there, and they'd be all talking, you know, telling a story or being funny. But if they could get one of the other people to say, I don't know, I think was the catchphrase, then green slime would pour over their head.
Oh, Nickelodeon. Okay.
Yeah, that's where the green slime kind of originated too,
right.
I think.
And I was already...
Yeah,
that I was past that before they even had Nickelodeon, and I didn't have cable then in the small town that I lived in, so I probably would have missed out on it anyway. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was borderline for me, but I remember it being pretty funny.
Right on.
But I don't know. I don't watch those, like the old, what was the guy from Saturday Night Live, Keenan? Thompson.
Kellen Keenan. They had like a show, and yeah, he had another one. He, dude, speaking of him, I watched Saturday Night Live this
week. Was
weekend.
He on there? What, did they do what was up with that with Ed Norton?
No, but he's been doing a parody on the Steve Harvey Show. Oh, he does good. Really good Steve Harvey.
Yeah, I bet.
And so I can't remember exactly what the things were, but he kept saying stuff and he would just not understand. He would misunderstand the words. Ed Norton was the guest as someone on the show of the Steve Harvey Show. It's like, well, that's just crazy.
Does he do Family Feud with the...
No, he never have, but I guess Steve Harvey has a show now.
He should do a Montel Harvey show.
Yeah.
Because they kind of...
Yeah. Montel Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Both bald, black, bid.
Yep. You know who Ed Norton, I could see him playing a great role. I don't want to typecast him because it's kind of typecasting him as Ed Norton, but he would be a great Norton.
Ah.
From the Honeymooners.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, he would be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, throw a little gray hair on him.
Yeah, and it'd be kind of weird because I bet a lot when he was a kid that he probably heard people call
Norton!
Him Norton!
I'm going to... Morning, you Norton. Yeah, he had a little monologue there, and he said, you know, he first got asked, this is his first time hosting the show.
Yeah, yeah, and I was surprised to hear that he was going to be host.
He said he first got asked back in 2000 by Lorne Michaels to host the show.
Wow.
And he said, I'll have to think about it. He was like, I'm a character actor. I prefer to prepare for roles. And so I said, after I thought about it, I told him, you know, I think I could be ready in about 13 years.
Uh-huh.
So Lorne Michaels just threw him a date back in 2000 and said, how about October 26, 2013? He said, perfect. I'll do it and I'll be ready.
Wow.
Because he's a character actor. So he's been preparing.
See, he hasn't done a lot of movies lately.
That's why.
Hulk, right?
He said that's why, because he's been preparing his act for Saturday Night Live, because he's getting into character to be like 10 different characters throughout the night. And then he's like, and there's so many great hosts who've hosted several times, and then out pops Alec Baldwin. He's like, oh, I knew you were going to mention my name. And he's like, actually, I didn't mention your name yet. He's like, yeah, but you were going to. I could tell by what you were saying. And so he's giving him some tips on how to be a host of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Because he's been hosting, you know, 15 times or something. And then old Miley Cyrus came out and told him that if you want to be a good host, you have to stick your tongue out like this. And then he kind of just went, she's like, no, maybe that's not a good idea. Put that back in. But overall, there was a few clunkers as far as sketches that I just, you know, you get those Saturday Night Live sketches where you're going, is this funny? Because it doesn't seem like it's funny. And they're driving it into the ground. And it's still
maybe
not.
Maybe you're just not caught up on what they're making fun of or whatever, you know?
No, there's some, though, that you know, like, there was a business meeting going on in this. Exterminator guy had to come in. He's like, I'll just be real quick. You know, I heard you guys had a rodent in here. It'll only take me 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, he brings his friend in, and they're just talking about these possums. And then they crawl in the vent, and then the possum have a knife and kill them. And it was dumb. It was like, their dialogue was kind of funny, and their characters were funny because they're acting like hillbilly rodent killers.
Did it sound like it took them 13 years to write it?
No. It sound like they maybe a last minute. I'm surprised it made the cut because I know a lot of people's sketches don't even make it after working hard all week on it. But whatever. Saturday Night Live still okay to me. I love Kenan Thompson as far as he's good. Funny.
2000 was a year after the Fight Club.
Ah, he was probably touring.
But do you remember back in '96? That's almost 20 years now. Was when he was in Primal Fear. You remember that movie?
A little bit. I remember
that movie blew me away when I saw it. I remember
more memorable for me was his role in American History.
Oh yeah, that was another great one.
Yeah,
but yeah, in Primal Fear, he plays kind of the same. You know, I don't know. I heavily suggested if you don't remember, I'd say watch it again because you know it'll be worth it then probably.
Is he in prison?
Yeah,
and it has Richard Gere, right?
Yeah.
Woo! I did see it.
Yeah.
I didn't look that up either. You're seeing me right now. People out there listening, I did not look that up. It just takes a little while. My brain is really, really, really full of information. Like, I've watched so many movies. I'm old.
Did
I've listened to so many songs. It's full of information, and there's room for more.
The average person can only hold on to 7 thoughts at one time.
What the fuck? Oh, at one time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty tough. Seven thoughts at once.
But that's why you kind of get backlogged if you don't like write down things that come up that you want to do, and then you got to remember all those things. You know, I mean, you got to clean your mind. Write it down. Write some notes.
I gotta start carrying my book with me again because I've been not remembering things that I've thought were golden comedy bits. Mm-hmm. That just happen, and they, you know, oh, fuck.
Yeah, sometimes you forget them before you even get to the pen, though.
Oh, man, I know.
Those are the, but you know.
Or you wake up in the night, and you're dreaming something funny, and you're like.
Yeah, I can't.
You can't read it in the morning.
I think it was, Nikki Six or Mick Mars. But I think it was Nikki Six because he wrote most of the riffage, right? He said if you forget a song, it means it wasn't good enough anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that could be true though. Could be true.
I don't prescribe to that though, because I mean sometimes you just forget a catchy riff, you know, that you just laid down one day and then you know you can't get it, but it doesn't mean it wasn't good enough.
Right. So before I forget... Over the weekend, there was a whole bunch of shows and stuff going on down in the Eugene area and everywhere probably as well, but something bad happened. Something bad happened.
Oh, I was going to say, something wicked this way comes.
At the Black Forest, Strange Dichotomy played our friends. Then at about 2 in the morning, after I got home from my... triple dip down in Eugene. I did 3 comedy shows on Saturday. Anyway, that's a different story for a different time. Jason Rowe posted, I was packing up my stuff after playing the Black Forest and someone stole his car with all of his gear in it.
What?
Yeah. Not just any gear, but this fucking whole car and his gear.
And all those drums and shit too.
Yeah,
man.
Because that's what he was playing, obviously. And he might have even had his bass stuff in there because he did the Uncle Spunk reunion for the memorial for Jason.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Because that guy passed away years ago, Jason Pickett.
Yeah.
And he was a drummer. And so mm-hmm. Zach learned some of the Uncle Spunk songs and they had an Uncle Spunk reunion of sorts at the Dixie over the weekend. So I think he had his bass stuff in there too. But I asked him for a, you know, make and model of his car. Oh, here we go. It's a 2001 gold Toyota Highlander. Jeez, that's a nice ride there.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes out. I'm sure the people who are dicks that stole them were going to try to sell them on Craigslist or else.
For sure.
But tons of support from all of his musical friends. Like, the first thing I said was like, dude, what the fuck? Unfortunately, the Eugene Police Department is known for not really doing much about car theft because it happens, and I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't really blame him, but I said, unfortunately, the EPD probably won't be able to do much about it. And I said, I smell a vigilante hunt coming. And Toby, formerly from K-Fly, and we have guns. If you find out who it is and need people on your ski mask and baseball bat team, be sure to hit me up. This is utter fucking bullshit. And, of course, you know, any musician can totally relate to getting your shit stolen, let alone, I guess it's a 2002, and it's got 30-pound test stickers on it.
All right.
2002 gold Toyota Highlander. Not sure.
That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, so he's got 2 big congas, maybe 3, maybe a djembe, a couple bongos,
probably as much equipment as there is car.
Oh, yeah. Well, Highlander, I think, is like a 4Runner kind of, but
mm-hmm.
more, so it's kind of like a SUV.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm sure the whole back of that car there, somebody's like, and you know, at the Black Forest, I've done it 100 times. You park, I don't know if it was in the alleyway or where.
Yeah.
But usually you park in the alleyway.
You always like to have somebody have an eye on the vehicle, though.
That's
but
true,
I mean,
too.
You know, it doesn't take long when you're just turning around grab a piece of
equipment. I forgot
before
and got back inside mm-hmm. after everything was loaded up and saw someone. And they said, great show, and I start talking. And then the next thing, oh, shit, I got to go move my truck after I put all my gear in it. So, God, man, it sucks to have to be so careful, but... Musicians out there, be careful. Keep an eye on your rig and your stuff. And that mm-hmm. happened to a bass player that used to jam
and heroin
with
rig.
The a guy that used to jam with the Bone Jars occasionally, Pappy, Lee Pappy Boynton. 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 It's hard to say. It sounds like you're saying boing, but there's no G in it. It's like B-O-Y-N. Boyn. Boynton.
Uh-huh.
He got his truck stolen with his precious five-string custom bass that he's had for like 20 years that, you know, it's played every show. He ended up getting it back. He didn't get his rig back.
Mm-hmm.
So they stole his, a Suburban.
Mm-hmm.
Man, people just steal
rigs. A bourbon?
He got his bourbon stolen.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so keep an eye out for that 2002 gold Toyota Highlander.
Yeah.
Probably not in the Eugene area anymore. 30-pound
test stickers.
Yeah, and a bunch of bongos in it. Maybe a bong. I don't know, too. But that sucks. Sorry about that, Jason, buddy. On my notes, it said Jason Rowe got rolled.
You know who else passed this weekend?
I passed a turd.
Mrs. Krabappel.
She's the one that died on The Simpsons?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
No, she passed the voice actor.
Oh.
I don't know which Simpson character they killed yet.
I heard that that was going to happen, but I thought that it had already happened.
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Damn it. Who killed J.R.?
Huh.
Wait, who did they kill on The Simpsons, I mean?
Yeah.
So Mrs. Krabappel, the voice, died.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, I wonder if they're going to keep her going and just find a replacement.
Oh, maybe they'll just kill her off.
That'd be awesome. Maybe get rid of some more motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of mentioned in passing there, I had two shows booked on Saturday, and I ended up picking up a guest set at the Granary, so I did three shows in one night, and they weren't even open mics. It was awesome. Bleepin' Funny was a very sparse crowd at Sam Bond's Garage, but it was still a lot of fun. I met a new comic who's recently moved here from Alaska. Pretty funny guy. He had some big books that drawings that he had made. He's an artist. And as I was doing my stand-up set, and then I got done and went outside and smoked a cigarette, came back in, he said, "Hey, funny set. Here, I sketched a little picture of you." And I'd been noticing that the Eugene comics have been putting up pictures of themselves, little sketch doodles, like Mac Chase and Mike McGowan, Seth and those guys. So he might be a possible prospect to have draw a little cartoon of us. I'll have to either look it up on my Facebook or I've got it in the van out there. But, yeah, his name is Isaac Paris, a decent artist. I liked his stuff. He had, like, big – they looked like I can't remember the premise because I'm stoned right now, but it was funny. It made me laugh. Oh, and then Bonnaroo Tattoo had their one-year anniversary, and they were planning on having, like, four bands after four comics. So there was probably 10, 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them weren't paying attention while we did our little comedy thing. And then I saw a couple of guys from Sick Man getting there. But then I had to get going, go meet up with a guy to get some medicine, and then go back to Granary for the third show. Then after the fact, I look on Facebook, and Jason Breeton from Sick Man says, "Who books bands to play at their place when there's no PA?" I guess the bands got there, and the comic that put on the comedy had brought a PA, but it was a tiny little thing that wouldn't... I mean, little speakers were maybe eight-inch mains.
A vocal stuff.
Yeah, it was a little Squier with four inputs, and it was maybe 80 watts. You know, it was a tiny little thing, not equipped for bands. And so I guess the guy was trying to get him to go get a PA and ask him if they could play unplugged. And a couple of them have driven from out of town, spending their last dollars of gas to get there, and they ended up bailing without playing. I guess the Black Forest offered them a slot at like 11:30, but or 12:30, but their singer had to be up at 7, so they declined that. But I don't know. I had fun there, but it did seem like a clusterfuck. Didn't seem like they were just having a party. They didn't have an entertainment manager that was actually taking care of what was going on. So, oh well. It was a fun experience. Told some jokes to some people who had never heard me or seen me before, so that's always nice. Because a lot of the shows, it's the same people.
Did you tell any dirty jokes?
I didn't at the bleeping thing, because you can't, but I guess they may be kind of dirty.
I got some dirty songs here. A list of dirty songs that you might not know are dirty.
Ooh.
It's a challenge.
Or
I'm going to see if you
listeners
knew they were dirty.
Okay. I consider myself pretty well-versed in underlying,
dirty songs.
Well, right. Underlying themes in songs that I'm familiar with, you know. I'm
all
a
right.
music connoisseur.
All right, this first one is a Beatles song. All
Lucy
right.
in the Sky with Diamonds.
And these are all dirty songs.
That's about licking sexual devices.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the LSD stands for.
Ticket to Ride.
You've got a ticket to ride.
Did you know
I
that
don't
was?
Care, yeah.
Did you know that was dirty?
I thought it was Ticket to Ride the Lightning. No, I don't know if I did. Think she's gonna be scared. I think it's today. Yeah. Oh, because he's gonna pop her cherry.
Nope.
Okay. Go. I don't.
Nope.
Know.
The reason she's going away turns out to be she is getting. It sounds as if she's getting on train and moving away or something, right?
Abortion.
Nope. But Ticket to Ride is actually double meaning. Refers to the medical cards German prostitutes carried to prove they were clean.
Ah. So you can fuck her without a condom and not worrying about getting some STD.
His girlfriend was leaving to become a hooker.
Wow. Paul McCartney wrote that?
Mm-hmm.
She's got a ticket to ride. She don't care.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be sad. I think it's today. She's gonna
I
be...
did not know that about that song,
Me
though.
Neither. I had no idea.
I thought maybe, you know, because just Dirty Minds travel there. You go, She's ticket to away. Ride. She's got a ticket to ride. Yeah.
Ride a penis.
Yeah.
No,
you
I
know,
never...
you think just the obvious, but, you know,
thought.
I didn't think like,
I never
oh,
thought.
She's got a ticket to like...
Ride a bus.
Yeah.
And she don't care because she's leaving and I'm going to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
I do know one that may make the list.
Right.
Is there any Kiss songs on there?
I haven't checked out the whole list.
Okay, cool.
There is a Foo Fighters song on here next, though.
Okay, what is it?
All My Life. Yeah, how's the chorus go?
I've been searching for something. What a better way. I love it, but I hate it. It's about eating pussy.
Yep.
I heard that story before.
Yep,
ding,
he
ding,
admitted
ding,
it.
Ding, ding.
He had just confirmed it.
He loves it, but he hates the taste.
Yep.
And then what does it say after that? Because I can never understand what he says because his mouth is full of pubic hairs.
Might have... Oh, no, wait.
Oh, what a better
weight
way.
Keeping me down. Mm, I love it, but I hate the taste. Weight keeping me down.
Oh, it's because her hand is on the top of her head.
Mm-hmm.
The hand, her hand is on top of his head, pushing him down, keeping me down. It's stinky down here, and it tastes kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she's like, yeah, the weight is there.
All my life I've been searching for something, some pussy that don't stink, ain't gonna taste like munching. Okay. There's a Kiss song. What song? Let me think of it. I can't think right now.
What about Fleetwood Mac?
Mask. I've never heard.
With their song Tuck.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. Fleetwood Mac with Tusk?
Yeah.
Tuk, tuk, tuk. We used to hear that song on the bus, on the school bus. I remember hearing that song on the bus.
Is this one of the radio songs?
Yeah, but it wasn't radio-ish. It was later, after they had probably already peaked out.
I just don't know if
I've
heard
it. And it's got
it.
Like a tribal drum beat, almost like George of the Jungle.
Uh-huh.
And I specifically remember one day on the school bus, about the sixth or seventh grade probably, and there was this, I'll call him moron, on the bus, tapping his fingers and hands on the seat of the school bus.
Uh-huh.
Like, nowhere near anywhere close to the beat of the song, right? Me, being the shy, kind of nice guy that I am, noticed and wanted to call him out, but didn't want to be a dick.
Uh-huh.
Well, this person sitting right behind me, they're like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm rocking out. And they're like, are you rocking out to this song? Because you're not really... It's like a white guy dancing to a Jay-Z song. It's like, oh, what are you doing? So that's my memory of Tusk. I don't recall the lyrics right now. Something about who do you love? Something about love. They say something about love in there.
Ah, it's that song.
Is a tusk a phallic symbol?
Yeah. That's what Mick Fleetwood called his junk.
Ooh. They should have just called the album Junk.
It was such an obvious reference to everyone close to the band that Stevie Nicks threatened to quit if they named a song Tusk, let alone the whole album.
Did she quit after that? Because they did, and it was a pretty critically acclaimed album. It was no Rumors, but it was Tusk. It was a double album. It was a dick of an album.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big cock of a record.
And this is their little note here. The title was so juvenile that it gravely offended a woman who allegedly spent her spare time blowing coke up her ass.
What?
I guess that would be Stevie Nicks.
Blowing coke up her ass?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
You would have to have a long straw because if you're blowing it in there yourself.
Oh, well, you'd probably... If you're Stevie Nicks, you're not blowing your own coke up your ass. Yeah. You're having an assistant do it or whatever you call those people that help rock stars. That
yeah. Can't Wouldn't you just do a Kokoma? Way down in Kokoma.
Oh, isn't that the Beach Boys? Yeah. Those guys had a bad heroin addiction in the 60s.
They probably had some...
Oh, wait, it was the
80s. Songs.
That's when they went to Kokoma. I had a cocaine enema.
Here's one by Nirvana. Heart-shaped box.
Well, that must obviously be about a vagina.
Mm-hmm. It is alleged, too, that even Courtney Love wrote those lines in there.
She did
about
lines.
About the umbilical noose.
Well, that's possible. I don't want to give her credit for such an awesome line, though.
I don't either.
She was probably doing lines of heroin up her ass like Stevie Nicks. She loves Stevie Nicks. Hole did a Stevie Nicks Fleetwood Mac cover.
She has claimed twice that this song has been about her vagina, but Kurt never said.
Yeah, I would really be, if I was her, claiming that a song that talks about eating your cancer when it turns black to be about your vagina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that...
And then the old version, like I heard an old
that
version.
That is kind of doll partsy, though.
It is, I guess. You're right. Shut
the
up.
The umbilical noose.
Shut up.
So, but.
Shut up.
But I'm just saying, though, that. What was I saying?
I don't know. But there was an old live version before they finalized the lyrics where Kurt Cobain said. Let's see. He said something about his bad back, which was weird.
Hmm.
I was my bad back. And it didn't sound
maybe
right.
Maybe it was an early lyric.
It was an early lyric. He didn't have them finally. It was live before it had been recorded and released in the studio. But
isn't that awkward claiming a song's about yourself? That's kind of vain, right?
Yeah.
Even if you did write it yourself, how do you know?
Carly Simon would know.
Mm-hmm. Here's a classic one-hit wonder one.
Wonder one, wonder one.
Let me see. Do you want to guess the band or the name of the song?
Duran Duran.
No, do you? Which one do you want to name? I'll give you the other one.
I guess the band.
All right. I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight.
Oh, I know a band that just does that only song only. Is that Cutting Crew?
There it is. Bam.
Damn. I've got a good memory for a stone guy. I just died in your arms tonight.
Yep.
Must have been some kind of kid. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that is.
No, what's that song about?
He didn't die. He's having an orgasm.
Oh, wow!
That's what he. Yeah.
In her arms.
Yep.
You should have an orgasm in her pussy or something. I just died in your vagina tonight. Vagina.
All right. Here's a song that I do not know. Eve 6. Do you know those people?
They had a hit. It was, let me see if I can remember before you tell me. No, I can't remember the name. Hopefully it's the same one.
Here's To the Night.
Nope, that's a different one.
This
they
one
had a bigger hit.
Apparently was chose for many class graduation songs.
Oh, I just remembered it. I would swallow my pride and empty inside.
Yeah. Yeah, about saying goodbye to your friends or whatever.
But
that
that's
makes
not
sense for a graduation.
But swallowing your pride
song.
Can be considered
about,
sexual.
Yeah, it's about a one-night stand.
You're like, hey, baby, want to swallow my pride?
Are you the now or never kind? Are you willing to be had? Or are you cool with just tonight?
Ooh, I'm cool with tonight.
Hmm.
Swallow my pride. Now, this is some bad weed.
Huh. This is one that somebody thought they were getting over people, but it turns out I don't think they were getting anything over on people because it's quite obvious, but I think he thought he was slyer than he was.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah. No,
no.
It's not. No, it's not. It's Kevin Bacon look-alike Brian Adams.
Cuts like a knife.
Summer of 69.
Oh, you know, that song seems so innocent that I don't even think I thought of that.
Really?
I never even thought of that.
Not even with the 69 in there?
No, I just thought it was the year. How fucking gay am I?
Really? Are you serious?
I'm serious right now. I'd never thought of the summer of 69.
Because 60. I thought, that's what I was talking about when I said that I thought he was getting people on because he says a lot of people think about the year, but actually it's about making love in the summertime using 69 as a sexual reference. Dude, if your mind always goes to dirty with She's Got a Ticket to Ride, how could it not with Summer of 69?
It didn't with Ticket to Ride.
He was diddling some girl till she bled on his fingers.
Till his fingers bled.
Yep.
I played her till my fingers bled. Actually, it was her vagina. Then I ate her bloody little snatch. We were out in the fucking corn patch. I think we got a new song coming up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Corn Patch. The Summer of 69. No, I just thought, you know, he was hanging around like Jackson Brown.
Yeah. You probably didn't give that song a lot of deep thought, though, really.
No, I was like 13, 14. No, I liked Cuts Like a Knife. I thought that song was about a penis, but I guess it wasn't. No, Cuts Like a Knife. But it feels so right. That's about the first time a girl has sex. She's like, ow, I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
Pain.
I smacked her with my guitar so she'd pass out.
God, it feels so right, though.
Yeah.
I love having blood come out of my genital area.
All right. So here's another one that is maybe obvious, but maybe not. We're talking about a little Jackson Brown.
Ooh, my redheaded friend.
Ooh.
Is that it?
Rosie.
Dude.
It's a redneck friend, though.
Yeah, my rednecked friend.
Yeah.
Is that on the list? Because that is one. My friend Lodestone, James Lawrence Lauderdale, he told me that years ago, and I didn't know whether to believe him because it was weird. I'd only met him a few times. I didn't know Lauderdale that well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an older guy. He's about 15 years older than me. And he's like, yeah, it came on the satellite radio at Country Coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're playing Redheaded Friend by Jackson Brown. I was like, I just know, like, Running on Empty and
Running on Empty, Running
Down on,
on
the Boulevard. I know those, but I don't
down
know.
Down on the Boulevard.
That's the same
boulevard.
Song. Is that the same song?
I think so.
They're packing in all the equipment and something else. And won't you stay a little bit? Okay,
how could that not be forever? That had to be, like, the last song he plays, right? Like, actually, while that stuff is going on in every show, right? Everybody's packing up the stage until it's just him.
That'd be a funny skit, and they're taking, and then all of a sudden it's just Jackson Brown.
He has to have the money to have that kind of thing going on at every show. Otherwise, he isn't living up to the performance that he could be if he could write the song and has the money to, you know?
Right.
It's not like he has to put in work. He's just hiring people to do it.
Right.
To make it look like that.
Yep, well, that'd be a good skit, though. And then the next thing you know, he's trying to sing the song, and there's no music playing because everything's gone.
it's just him. You could barely hear the faint piano.
Just a little bit.
Then you gotta. Is that even? Is that him singing that part?
I don't know. He doesn't sing high like that. That's someone. But that's an old, you know.
Yeah,
that's an old 60s song.
Yeah.
It might even be the real Frankie Valli. It sounds
cool,
kind of like that.
It's a cool story within a song. You don't hear too many stories in a song like that. You know, Billy Joel, I guess it was more piano kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Not that you don't hear stories, but I mean, just like, I guess, you know, where the story is the driving force of the song as opposed to, you know, more guitar oriented.
Right.
You know, I guess. Maybe.
But
Crocodile
yeah, redheaded
Rock.
Friend, that's his penis.
Yeah, rednecked friend.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I know it's the same thing, but
no,
redneck
not.
To me is
no,
funny.
The neck, because that's the shaft underneath.
But it's
the
Rosie,
head.
You're all right. You wear my ring when you hold me tight, Rosie. That's my thing.
So the song is called Rosie.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, but it mentions the redneck friend.
And didn't he have rose tinted glasses too, or didn't he have a song about rose tinted?
Maybe. I don't know.
Rose colored, rose tinted.
I don't either, because like I said, Boulevard and Running on Empty on the Boulevard, those are the only two things. Could you just imagine a skit of Jackson Brown driving down the Boulevard?
Running on Empty Boulevard.
And he runs out of gas on the Boulevard. He's hitchhiking. Hey, who's that? It's Jackson Brown. He's like, what's up? I was running on empty out on the Boulevard. And now
Boulevard.
Now I'm packing up all the equipment. Won't you stay just a little bit longer? Maybe give me a ride to the gas station. And then he had a song called "The Pretender."
Yeah, and then by the time he got back, you know, all the stuff would be off the stage.
Exactly.
All the roadies would be gone.
Yeah, fucking roadies.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna sing a song while the roadies are working.
I love that roadie song by Jack Black, though. It's so funny. I can't believe how much he gets away with using fucking as a spacer word for extra syllables.
Uh-huh.
He says fucking so much and sucking my dick. And
I think it just comes from the, because the k's a great one to do that. You know, caca.
It's almost like a
half syllable.
Hey, you want to suck my dick? And she said, no, I want KG's chode. Because the roadie doesn't ever get the blowjobs. It's always the rock stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Poor Jack Black. Actually,
the rock star gets three before the roadie gets one. Right?
Three, I guess so. That could possibly.
I mean, well, at least.
At least.
Mm-hmm. But relax, because Frankie's going to Hollywood.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they not want you to do it? When you want to come. Is that what they say? Do they say when
it
you want
to come? It appears to be a commentary upon the excess of 80s culture and a call for temperance. Do you remember that? Is that what you remember the song being? Like 80s culture was everywhere and they were like, relax, don't do it.
No.
Well, that's not what it was about.
What's it about?
According to the songwriter,
I thought it was about peer pressure.
For them?
Yeah.
You do?
Oh, no.
Oh. Mike Horn.
Mike Horn?
Mm hmm.
I have one of those on my foot. Mike Horn is painful.
Oh, man. I bet you he's getting that one a lot.
Mike Horn is painful.
Yep.
When it first
came out, they used to pretend it was about motivation. But really, it was about shagging.
Shagging?
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah, he wrote the song after being given some bad drugs and having a vision for a song he was stuck on. Armies of people stretching out onto the horizon waiting to have sex. And Holly standing on top of a tower like a minaret.
Okay.
I don't know what a minaret is. Yeah, and so he wanted the song to sound orgasmic, saying, we kept trying to get it orgasm bigger and bigger.
Bigger and bigger.
Did that have that effect on you? Were you a big Frankie Goes to Hollywood fan?
No, I was dabbling in metal at that point,
mm-hmm.
and I was losing my affinity for pop music.
I remember one time I thumbed through lesbians.
You thumbed in a lesbian?
Uh-huh. I thumbed through their CD, like one of those 40-disc CD booklets, right?
Okay.
And I had never seen anything more stereotypical
Indigo Girls.
All my life. I mean, I could have been...
Melissa Etheridge?
I could have been watching...
Indigo Girls?
A dozen black people eating fried chicken and watermelon.
Talking during
and
the movie.
It would not have been as stereotypical as that.
It was
filled with, like, the entire catalog of Katie Lang, Melissa Etheridge, and
Indigo
Frankie
Girls.
Goes to Hollywood.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Was in there.
That's not a lesbian.
I don't really think so, but it's like, you know, it's within that same kind of, like,
Sarah McLachlan?
Ambiguous music, almost, I guess.
The ambiguously gay lesbian.
You know, you'd probably see, I wouldn't be shocked to find, like,
men without hats?
Yeah, or something like that.
Save to dance. Do the save to dance.
Yeah.
So are you telling me that this list you're looking at, you still haven't came across any Kiss songs?
Nope, and I got one left.
Well, fuck, then do it, and I'm going to give you some Kiss.
Because every song was the whole thing, right? That's like saying, I know there was a ZZ Top song.
I was just looking for some Tush. It's like,
Tube Steak Boogie.
Tube Snake. It's Snake.
Steak.
It's Snake.
Dude, it's like Steak.
Tube Snake. You could make a tube steak out of a tube snake. Hey, you want a snake? A snake. They make you do the boogie. And the tube snake boogie. The boogie all night long. Only if you take Viagra, though.
Oh, this guy wants to be your sledgehammer.
Oh. Well, he's got a first name that's a fucking dick.
Let's talk about this song, because this song's huge, right?
His penis is huge, too, I heard.
Really?
That's why his name's
like
Peter.
Like Liam Neeson huge?
Peter Gabriel. He's... I don't know. I'm just making shit. Well, Shock the Monkey? What do you think that's about? That's about hooking battery cables up to your penis.
What?
Yeah, you don't know that?
I always figured it was about something fucking dirty, but I didn't know.
Spank the Monkey. He wanted to call it Spank the Monkey, but the record company said that's not going to work because that means jacking off. He's like, I know, I'm wanking it. That's what I want to do. Phil Collins used to wank it all the time back in the day. We spanked the monkey. So Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
That is a huge, huge song.
It was. And, you know, I mean.
Is that about a penis?
It still holds up today. You know, when you hear it on the radio, it's
I moved to it.
It's fresh. Bam, you know, it still bam, feels fresh compared to a lot of that stuff that they.
I've got the power. You've got the new stuff.
Yeah.
Shed my skin. What the fuck does that mean? I don't understand.
Kind of like the you know, to where like we were talking, where the guitar isn't the focus, but it's almost the like
horns.
And his voice.
Oh yeah, the horns.
You
and
know,
the
both him and Phil Collins both could belt it out pretty well.
Yeah, you just got a you got a bass line that's real prominent and a groovy drum beat, and then you just got him singing over it.
Yeah.
With a really strong melody and some bow 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 in the background of like a probably a fake horn section that's played on a keyboard is what it sounds like to me.
He had like percussions and all that kind of stuff too, right? Like one of those
big bands,
David Byrne type of people that like to add some world music flavor.
Yes, for sure. So that's your whole list of songs with.
Well, this is just Sledgehammer, Big Dippers, Bumper Cars, Steam Trains, Airplanes, Pattern.
Shed my.
They're
skin.
All phallic.
Yep. Shed my skin.
He said the song, sometimes sex can break through barriers when other forms of communication are not working well. It's nice that one of the greatest mysteries of the 80s has been solved. But we might all have been a lot more comfortable never knowing what a fruit cage was.
Ooh, is that like a fruit basket over the seas? Across the pond, they call it a fruit cage. Check out my fruit cage. That's where you just do the tucking bend.
Check out my fruit cage. Is that what he says?
Check out my fruit cage. Shed my skin.
Yeah,
that's the condom off right there. Take the condom off my fruit cage.
Yeah, there was no kiss. It was just 10 songs you might not know were dirty.
Well, of course, you might think that Love Gun could be.
And Cold Gin. It was like a chick named Jen, right? She was really cold.
No, but there is a song on the Love Gun album called Plaster Caster.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that's about?
Making castings of your junk.
That lady who was famous for like doing all the rock stars, that groupie, that's what it Grab a Hold of Me Faster.
Sweet, Sweet Connie, is that who we're talking about?
Cynthia Plaster Caster was her name.
Oh.
No, Sweet, Sweet Connie. It's from we're an American band.
Yeah, but I thought she was well known for
she probably was
her,
too.
Volunteering.
Well, this lady's name was Cynthia, and she's famous for casting penises of like Jimi Hendrix and breasts even of female musicians. But yeah, there is some song by Kiss somewhere, and I can't find it, and I can't find it in my brain that
well, it's on that album, right?
Not on Love Gun, it's on a different one that's about anal sex. And I can't remember, because, you know, Gene Simmons.
It was 10,000 years, because remember when Paul Stanley screams really high?
No, I think it's a Simmons. It's a Gene Simmons, co-written by his half-brother, Richard, who has a new infomercial on TV now. It's called Hope to Lose Weight.
I was actually just going to look up Richard Simmons.
Gotcha. Look at them the next time you see them together. They look like they got the same greasy complexion.
Do.
But Richard Simmons has a new thing, and it's called Hope to Lose Weight.
I think Kiss should sponsor Meal a Deal.
That'd be cool. Well, they do already sponsor Sweatin' to the Oldies, because they do that every night. Could you imagine how successful it could be when the thing is just called Hope to Lose Weight? It's an anagram, H-O-P-E. I haven't looked into it yet to see what it stands for. I'd like to make up my own, maybe. But Hope to Lose Weight It's just like hoping for change when Obama came in.
Yeah.
You hope that it might happen, but it's probably not going to happen. Hope to lose weight. Do you have to exercise? Nope, you just hope. Hope,
yeah.
Hope is all I have.
Well, if you prayed, why not pray?
Well, because hope is better than praying.
How?
I don't know. I told my dad something funny, and he didn't. I don't know if he thought it was funny or not, but it was an old Emo Phillips. Remember Emo Phillips?
Yeah.
He said one time, when I was a little kid, every day I would pray for a bike. He goes, and then I found out that that's not how it works. So I stole the bike, prayed for forgiveness. Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's totally
you know,
how it works.
That's kind of, he was kind of a, I don't want to, I mean, he kind of had, he kind of had that kind of stage presence that kind of Mitch Hedberg kind of had.
Oh, yeah. And he talked in kind
of. I don't want to say that Emo Phillips is on par with Mitch Hedberg.
Oh.
But he's got nothing to lose, which is that song you're thinking of by Kiss.
Probably. Did you find it?
I don't
oh,
know.
Yeah. You know you got
in,
nothing to lose.
I just typed into Google Kiss song anal.
Yep. That's it. And he's telling her, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah. That was an early one, wasn't it?
Yeah. As I think on Hotter Than Hell or Dressed to Kill.
That's a. I remember
got,
that one being a catchy
got,
song. Yeah.
You got nothing to lose.
Very basic. Which was their best songs, I thought, were the ones that were more kind of, repetitive.
Right.
Kind of just drilled that catchiness into your head.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
you.
That band from Detroit.
They're not from Detroit,
what?
Dude. They're
Rock
from,
City.
They're from Vegas.
What? Vegas?
Yeah, they got a Kiss thing in Vegas. That's where they have to be from then.
He's from near there, I know, because he found... Carrot Top picked him up in the desert one time.
Who? Gene Simmons?
Yeah, I saw it on Family Jewels.
Ooh. Have you been watching that on Access TV lately?
No, I watched it back in the day.
Ah.
Sweet Connie Hamsey.
What's she do?
She was born in 55.
But was she was just a big
wow,
groupie.
That means in 63 she was 8. And she was already giving John Lennon blowjobs
at
8.
Not 63.
Oh, wait.
She came on in the 70s, didn't she?
Well, she'd have to because she wouldn't be 18 till 73.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's a lot of songs called Nothing to Lose.
Yeah. She's a groupie, had claimed sex of rock musicians, and she also claimed that she was propositioned by Bill Clinton when he was the governor of Arkansas.
Ah.
Yep.
Now, see, I'm still on this nothing to lose thing here. Now, when I was a kid, I used to listen to that song a lot.
She's got nothing to lose.
Now, here's the lyrics. Before I had a baby, I didn't care anyway. I thought about the back door. I didn't know what to say. But now I got a baby, and I tried every way, but she didn't want to do it, but she did anyway. But baby, please don't refuse. You know you got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose. And then it says, so now I've got a baby, and I've tried every way. Yay, yay. You know she wants to do it, and she does it anyway. That doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, and then it just says, shake it, you got nothing to lose. And Peter Criss sings on that. I bet he didn't write it, though. I bet it was...
I think sometimes they left out words because the rock moves.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah, I think they're like, I want to do this rock move here, so we're going to have to leave a word out because I'm going to have to move away from the mic.
Okay.
I think they were that committed.
They might have been. They just very well might have been.
It was probably very hard to be in a band with Gene Simmons.
Why? Because he didn't do drugs or just because he was a dick?
Probably just because he probably just all business. All business.
Think so?
Then it came to like the band and stuff, but after the shows, I think it was probably all party. But I think he was probably very egotistical, though.
Yeah.
Him and Paul probably butted heads.
I would imagine so, because they both thought they were
yeah.
The
and
bees
then you got
knees.
Ace Frehley, right, over on the side, he's going,
I think he was too.
I'm the guy that's got all the fucking talent, and these guys are fucking butting heads over which one of them is better.
I think he was too wasted to really know what was going on.
Yeah, well, that's probably why.
That could be.
Probably watching those two all the time.
Yeah, no shit. And Peter Criss, he was probably just a quiet one. Mm-hmm. I don't know, he didn't seem to really.
Yeah, I can't hear much behind the drums sometimes.
What do you mean, on Kiss?
No, I just mean sitting back behind the drums.
Oh, so you're like not in...
Yeah.
Not in the whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm trying to find this. I'm having troubles, though, so I'm just going to go... Special birthday today. I'm pretty stoked about this. Don't know the guy. I did talk to him once at the Wow Hall back in 1992.
Uh-huh.
He's from New Jersey. His band just released an album about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. Mr. Dave Windorf. Is it wine or is it win?
Win, I call it win.
Windorf, Dave Windorf. Dave Windorf, happy birthday today, October 28th.
Happy birthday.
Now, what's your guess on Dave's birthday age? His age, not his birthday. Obviously, his birthday's today. He's older than I would have thought. But 57.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, 10.
So wait, go back 20 years.
9.
8.
7.
6. 5. 4.
All right, go back 20 years.
Yeah, to 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Super Judge coming out.
You would have been like...
37.
Wow.
Yeah. He was 35 when Spine of God came out.
No wonder he's always fucking hammering sleeping pills when he was on tour,
fuck
man.
Yeah. I have an album that I got off eBay from his first band called Shrapnel.
Uh-huh.
Dude, I got to try to find some of that shit. Yeah. That sounds like Joan Jett, literally. And he's just the lead singer. He's like 17 years old, 1983.
Dude, I'm going to blow your mind right now.
Do it.
All right. I'm going to go Kevin Smith, right? Now think of Kevin Smith,
okay,
who's got the podcast,
right?
Right, and there's a podcast on there called "Tell 'Em Steve Dave."
Why is what?
It's a couple guys that
okay.
Talk.
Why is that blowing my mind right now?
Because Dave Windorf is an occasional guest.
Ah, on "Tell 'Em Steve Dave."
Yep.
Wow.
He's the right here. It says he is the frontman and only remaining original member of the band.
That is true. That is true. It's unfortunate, but I mean, you know, some of them have been the band like five or 10 years, but still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go to his Wikipedia page, you'll find a brief bio, a section on early life, and a section on opinion about drugs.
Nice.
They have a whole section on his opinion about drugs.
Well, because he was on the fence for a while. I don't think he could decide what he wanted to do.
He now claims still.
Yeah, he's clean.
That drugs are not an inspiration for music nor a gateway into creativity, he says.
Nope, because he's already been there and done that, so it's all in his brain already. Because you listen to the lyrics of the new song and you're thinking, dude, you're either on some really good drugs right now or you were on some really good drugs at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is he was on some really good drugs at one point.
Yeah.
So good job there, Dave, and happy birthday, 57. You're old, dude. I'm glad you're way older than me. And I almost forgot to mention today is, I thought it was National Bestiality Day, but I guess it's Plush Animal Lovers Day.
Oh.
So that's like stuffed animal, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Plush.
Yeah.
But that's kind of bestiality if you love animals. No, that isn't.
No, it's, that's like, they call that something, right? Furry play.
Ooh.
Furries, right?
Yes, furries. Yep. But I don't think that that's what that means. Plush Animal Lovers Day, that kind of could mean that. Furries Day.
It could,
should be Furries Day.
Yeah, it should be about any furry thing.
Yeah.
So, furry animals, right? Cats?
Yeah.
All right.
And also today, birthday, local pseudo-celebrity in my book, a guitarist from Witch Mountain, Rob Wrong, got a birthday today. Now, here's a little connector, like a Lego. Rob Wrong used to play guitar for a band called M99 from Portland, who opened for Monster Magnet and White Zombie at the Wow Hall in 1992.
What?
Yep. M99, chick singer Rob Wrong, a young Rob Wrong on guitar.
And what? Who? Go back. Who was
which
there?
Which Mountain guitarist?
No, who played at the
White Zombie, Monster Magnet, and M99 at the Wow Hall. They, Lance and Pat and those guys went up and saw them the next night as well up in Portland, but I didn't go because I couldn't afford it. I was poor. Also today, a comic that I just did a show with on Saturday night, Sean Jordan, funny guy. He's in a Subway commercial. He's a regular at Helium, and he's pretty funny. Apparently, after seeing his set last night, the other night, he's an alcoholic.
So, oh, really?
Good job.
Maybe he's just an alcoholic for comedy's sake.
Could be. He has a story about his parents meeting in a liquor store.
Hmm.
He's like, you don't meet someone in a liquor store.
Do you do a bit about the old liquor store, gun store combo?
I've never done it, but I've thought about it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Because back when I was a kid, mm-hmm. you didn't have a waiting period. Mm-hmm. You could go into the sporting goods store, buy a half gallon of Jack Daniels, a shotgun, 10 packs of shells. For $50, you had a great night.
An hour and a half on...
Brownsville
My
culture.
Hometown is so small.
Oh, they already announced me that. From the metropolis of Brownsville. Not Texas either. I always say that too. Yeah, I'm not from here. Mm-hmm. Where are you from? I'm not from here. I'm from here. That's where I'm from. Where are you from? I'm not from here. Before we get any further, because we're getting to the end here, Hans texted me. Today he's listening to kind of a fake band, but they're awesome. They're cartoon. Hans listened to a cartoon band today.
Oh, cartoon, K-H-A-R-T-O-N?
The animated band. It's a bandimate. They're bandimated.
Oh, you're talking about Metalocalypse?
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Metalocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Death Clock, he's listening to Death Album. That's their album. That's their first album, Death album. Would you like some coffee? I've been watching some Death Clock, recording a few episodes on my DVR because they always played at like 2:45 in the
morning. Diver?
I diver. Diver, dibber, dibber, dibber. Oh, speaking of shows that you've been watching, we should talk about this more on the next show if we're going to wrap up now, or we could talk about it now. Have you got to watch The Birthday Boys yet?
No.
Do you don't have an IFC or what?
Yeah, I do not have IFC.
Yes, you do not.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will touch a little bit real quickly, though, because I did watch the first two or three episodes of season three of The Wire.
Yeah.
And I remember now what it's all about.
Yeah. And that dude from Walking Dead, you remember him now?
Marlowe.
Yeah.
No, then not Marlowe, but that's what this season is Marlowe. And it makes it, it was so refreshing to see because I hadn't remembered for so long that, you know, each season, like, it still introduces new characters after two seasons, you know.
Right.
That are so important to the story, you know, as other ones have gone away.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited. I've only watched like two episodes, but I keep getting interrupted. Plus, I've been kind of busy lately, and who knows what else, watching different shit. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I've been watching The Birthday Boys. They've had two episodes so far. A little bit reminiscent of the show, Mr. Show.
Oh,
they don't come out and do like a monologue like they did at the beginning, but all of the sketches are... There's some sketches that are different, but they're all tied together in some way or another. You know how Mr. Show used to do that? Where it'd be like a storyline kind of. But
the
not
whole theme.
But not really. Like the stories could be totally disconnected from each other, but there's a weird thing that holds them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the thing about that episode I was talking about last week about the computer garage gang. Mm-hmm. Like, we're the computer garage gang. You know, we didn't know what we were doing. We were just having fun putting some parts together, and we had this processor, and then we met these other guys, and they had the software. We had the hardware. We figured, let's make a go of it. And so we were the computer garage gang. And they're like, but we were more focused on the garages. I don't even think that one guy knew that we had a loft. I mean, and now we live in an exclusive neighborhood in California where it's only garages. They all live, instead of houses, it's like mm-hmm. a cul-de-sac of garages because they just love garages. And it was, the sideline was they invented computers. but they loved garages. And then, and it wasn't about a paycheck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the garage and hanging out in the garage. They had a loft. It was awesome.
Yeah. And he there goes, are and garage people, though.
Tennis balls hanging from strings.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how far you can pull a car in without hitting the wall. He's like, and I don't even remember who thought of that. He's like, I think that Jim thought of the strings, but I thought of the tennis balls on the ends. He goes, so it was total collaborative, you know. And they're mm-hmm. just all excited about it. Last week's was Wacky Roofers. So he plays different characters, but it's got a team of like 13 people that are the actors. But Odenkirk's watching TV in his house, and he's got roofers up there, and they're all joking around with each other and shooting each other with nail guns and stuff, being goofy. And he's trying to watch a comedy on TV, but they're being too loud. He's like, but they're actually funnier. He calls the cable company. He's like, yeah, I'm watching this comedy on TV right now. He goes, but my roofers are so loud, and they're way funnier. He's like, you should give them a show. I want them to have a show and be on my TV right now. And the next thing you know, they're being whisked away, and it's on this set of Wacky Roofers. And they're just like telling stupid one-liner jokes and shooting each other with nail guns and stuff. And it's just... It's,
so that is reality TV these days, though, man.
And then it was canceled after one season.
Yeah. Well, you look at like... I don't know if you still watch Duck Dynasty ever.
No, just in
but you watched enough probably just to like in a marathon or whatever. Just, you know, it's they're real people and that's really what they do, but it's kind of also a fabricated. It's like a set.
Right.
You know, it's like a set.
For sure.
Shop. They never get any work done in there. You never see them actually putting 600 things together.
They're just sitting at the table sometimes making one.
Yeah, one at a time. You know, they make that little set and they go, okay, it's time to do some episodes. And they have storylines that they go through on Duck Dynasty, you know. And so it's, I think that much is set up.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still.
And I don't know,
for sure.
It's probably
honest things that they enjoy doing and stuff that they are creatively involved in input-wise.
Where did I see that? There was something where they said, okay, we're going to make a reality show.
Have the crazy old man.
He goes, but we're going to have it in your house. You know, it's going to be real. They're like, oh, we're not getting the correct lighting and stuff that we need. So we're just going to build a set so you guys can just come down to the studio. You know, we'll build a set mm-hmm. and it'll look just like your house. So it's going to be real. And then they're like, okay, could you say that last line again like you did? Like, okay, this isn't really working out. So we're going to hire actors that look like you guys to actually play the part. But it's still going to be real because it's based on the real stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, okay, that storyline is just a little bit... We're going to have some writers come in and change a little bit of that.
Add some funny.
But it's going to be based on the... You know, so it's still reality TV. And it just... They kept lopping it on like more and more. Like, oh, we're going to change this, but it's still real. And it's still
reality. You seen that show Tickle?
No.
It's kind of funny.
Is it funny?
It's about this moonshiner guy... I don't know if it's real. It seems like a scripted kind of comedy guy. Like it's a comedy, kind of like a Run, Ronnie, Run kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where the guy's kind of slack jaw yokel.
Yeah.
And they just follow him around with a camera, and him and his friends do dumb things. And
huh. That's a lot of shows now.
But I think their main goal is they make moonshine. I saw one episode where they were like, at the start of the episode, they had stolen a guy's entire moonshine collection, and it was the best moonshine ever. But they literally had, like, milk jugs, like 200 of them. And then by the course of the episode, at the end of the episode, they were swigging on the last half of it.
That can't be.
Yeah, right? Like he was hiding out in a garage for a while because he thought that people were after him for killing the guy, and he was hiding out. He had like he was sleeping in the garage on the cement floor with like one blanket on, and he was using a wading boot for a pillow, but he had like 14 gallons of moonshine there right in the middle of the right next to him still protecting all that moonshine.
That's when you know it's probably just scripted.
Yeah, it's funny though.
Yeah,
it's comedy.
Yeah, it's like comedy.
It's like Reno 911.
Like maybe they were the real world and those shows maybe were the original reality mm-hmm. shows.
You might have came from the moonshining show because That's that show. It's on Discovery.
Right. I'd seen part of that. But I just think that, you know, like reality shows when they first started back in the 90s on MTV, maybe mm-hmm. they were a real camera in a real dorm room or wherever yeah. they were. And then, like, it became so popular that everybody's like, I want to make a reality show, but it's mm-hmm. not, I'm going to make it. Like you make a show, like a movie or a series. It's not yeah. It's not real, but it's a reality show, like a mockumentary. Mm-hmm. But then they don't come clean and say this is a mock yeah. reality show.
And then at some point you had producers starting to say, what if we put them in this crazy situation, even crazier?
And then dump snakes on their heads. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's a crazy, crazy media world we live in yeah. today. Anymore.
But it's a good platform for a slasher movie.
Yeah.
Reality slasher flick.
Where you actually have people killing people.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's
right?
make one.
But I think, you know, we really should go with the route of, what was that movie? Was it Running Man or Demolition Man? Where the prisoners were put in a game show where they fought for their lives.
Oh, with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Richard Dawson?
Yeah.
That was Running Man.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a real possibility. Why not do that with people that, I'm not saying like just your average guy that's in jail for a year or two or whatever on whatever, but I'm saying like the serious criminals, like the serial killers and all that. Why not put them in a ring and let them serial kill each other?
Yeah.
See which one's the toughest one.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, what do they got to lose? You got nothing to lose.
Yeah, I heard that song was about serial killers. Am I right or am I wrong? What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, there
it was about like putting them in a ring to see.
A ring of fire. A burning ring of fire. Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to lose.
That's right. It'll burn like a ring of fire the next day. That's what you have to lose, is a comfort in your butt. Hey, thanks for listening on a Monday. It's not Monday. It is, but the sun just came out for a second.
I know. Awesome.
I'm tripped out because I was listening to Friday's show, which I don't mm-hmm. always do, and we were like, yep, the sun's still shining. But it wasn't because we got socked in with like fog and shit, but... Anyway, sun's yep. out, making me feel better.
Sun out and rock on.
And metal. And we'll see you on Wednesday with more stuff. Hey, you got any more of that Coke left? Spark plugs. Hey, pluggers. There are plugs. This is shows coming up that you can go see and enjoy. Every second Friday of the month is Pantsless Comedy with Mike McGowan at the Cornucopia Bar down there, 5th and Pearl in Eugene. Also every Wednesday, Tiny Tavern Open Mic in Eugene, and every Thursday, the Green Room Open Mic. Both comedy mics. Go to those. Yep. We got a lot of good shows. Some new ones added to the list finally after just saying the same thing over and over again. Let's try to go in order. I don't know if I'll be able to. November 8th, it's the 30-pound test CD release show. That's at Sub-Zero, formerly the Platinum there on 4th in Corvallis. Summer Soundtrack of Bikini will be playing as well. It's 18 and over, 21 and over you can drink. But if you're not 21, you can still go to that show. It's $5 at the door. That's November 8th. It's a Friday night. Also, one of the last heavy metal and hard rock shows going on at Diablo's before they close down is that night. If you're in Eugene that night, go see Glad Handler, I Am Ruin, Dirt Nap, and The Purpose of Silence. Should be a good show at Diablo's. One of the last you'll see there. What else is going on? Some new shows got me thrown off a little bit. What is it? November 24th. Monster Magnet at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland. I'm hoping for a Eugene show, but for now, that's all the information we have. So tickets are $20 at the door or $18. You can save a whopping $2 by buying in advance, but I doubt it'll sell out. They have a new album out and stuff, so you never know. What else is going on? November 9th, the 8th Annual Northwest Women's Comedy Festival. It's happening in Springfield at the Wildish Theater. Tickets are kind of expensive, so I'm not going to go, but if you guys want to, that is going on. November 29th, Lord Dying is playing with Nether Regions and the Ancients at Analog Cafe up in Portland. Another great show that will be. Neurosis and the Body are coming to, either the Roseland or the Hawthorne. I was kind of scrambling for my list, but that's November 23rd. Neurosis doesn't come around a lot to Portland, so you should probably go see those guys. Great band. Great show that they put on with the visual effects behind the stage. Always a good time with Neurosis. November 13th at the Hawthorne Theater, it's Creator and Overkill. More metal coming to Portland December 3rd with Suicidal Tendencies and a few other bands at the Wonder Ballroom. High on Fire will be at the Hawthorne Theater on December 9th. That's a Monday. December 7th, we've got Wehrmacht, Toe Tag, playing Accused songs, World of Lies and Spawn, and Roadkill Carnivore, rounding out the bill there. It's going to be at the Slab Town. I guess it's a bar. That's just what it's called. It's a weird thing. The 17th of January next year, we got DRI coming to Hawthorne with World of Lies, direct support, and probably a couple other local bands opening the show. Should be fun. January 31st, Zappa Plays Zappa, Dweezil, and some of the alumni from the old Frank Zappa bands will be coming to the Roseland Theater. I think tickets are like $45, but it's a great show. They play like two long sets, and they do a great job interpreting the old Frank Zappa song. So there's a lot of stuff for you to go see. Now your job is to go see it. Go do something. Go support local entertainment. That way it'll keep happening. All right. And then when you get home, flip on the computer or your smartphone and listen to the Tagcast podcast. That's called the Terry and Gatz Comedy Show now, though. I can never remember that. All right. Thanks for listening, you guys, and we'll talk to you next time. Peace out.